Welcome, y'all, to the Direct Examination Podcast. My name is Amber Fulmer.
I'm Dane Phillips.
And I'm Joseph Bias. We are wishing you all a happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, whatever it is that you celebrate. We hope that you're celebrating it happily and safely. For my two favorite co-hosts, I almost said like Santa and the elves. I don't know. Anyway, that was weird. Amber, Dane, how the heck are you? Merry Christmas.
I wouldn't have been offended if you made me an elf.
No, but then in my head, like, Dane would have been an elf and I would have been an elf. Like, it would. Anyway, I had the
I'm fat enough to be Santa Claus. So I'm jolly at least. And since this is our War on Christmas episode.
I was about to say, and speaking of elf, that's an issue. That's resolved for our next host or guest.
We will bring that up.
We will get there.
Well, this is a special bonus episode. As you all know, we like to skew silly sometimes. This is going to be silly. Not to say that the discussions aren't very important, because they are, but we can give, well, Amber, why don't you introduce our illustrious guest, and then I'll give the background as to why he's here.
Right. Nothing but illustrious guests. Our guest today is Brett Bain. Brett is an attorney with McAngus, Goodlock, and Curry, where he practices general civil litigation defense, including automobile negligence, premises liability, products liability, and construction defects. Brett was named as a super lawyer, Columbia Business Monthly's Midlands Legal Elite, I believe 3 years running, Brett? With two, you were number one, right? Okay.
He's nodding, but this is an audio podcast.
Yes,
please
he's
continue.
He's nodding. Continue to speak.
I'm letting Amber flounder here.
You would. Let's see. You also were in the Columbia Business Monthly's Best and Brightest Under 35, and in his spare time, Brett teaches trial advocacy at the University of South Carolina School of Law and has served as the faculty advisor and head coach of the USC School of Law Mock Trial Bar since 2013, and under Brett's leadership, the school's program has gone from almost dead to nationally ranked, including national championships and finalists. And lastly, my shout out, there's never a good man without a good woman behind him. Shout out to Laura Bain, Brett's wife, who lets him do all these wonderful things while she has their three daughters who are also being raised on the federal rules of evidence. So shout out to Laura
Bain. That is very
welcome, Brett Bain. Yes, I mean,
so Brett is, if you've listened to our show, he is basically the unofficial fourth member of the podcast. We do have a running joke where we have to mention him apparently in every episode. He's our friend. But the problem with Brett is that he is the king of having opinions. Some of them are not all that well informed. And so today he's going to talk about a running bit that he has.
And he's very self-assured to go.
Yeah, he's very self-assured. Look, nope.
Kanye confidence.
That's right. Brett has a running bit where he ranks the Christmas movies of the year. It doesn't make any sense, but if you listen to our podcast last year, our year-end podcast, he went through his yearly ranking. We wanted to give him more time, basically, so we can argue with him this time about his yearly ranking of Christmas movies. So, Brett, if you don't mind, before we get into all of the details and stuff, tell us why you started doing this, and if you could go 10 to 1, what the movies are for 2020.
Sure, why did you declare war on Christmas?
That's right. And then we'll pick you apart.
Well, the war was needed, and so that's why we declared it. It started
Much for world peace.
As a bit, I don't know. It's a very serious list that a committee of at least one compiles each year.
Right.
As you know, I've started ranking holiday songs as well. So the first,
evolved.
The definitive list of all Little Drummer's Boy was released recently.
who was the winner of the Little Drummer's Boy list?
Well, so first we had a debate as to whether it's Little Drummer's Boy or Little Drummer Boys.
Boys, yeah.
I decided to sidestep that in the posting and just said the top Little Drummer Boy recordings or something. Pentatonix is number one.
Okay.
But there's some good jams on there. They're all the same though.
They're good.
I can agree. They are good. But the Christmas list was born out of, you know, everyone people generally have trouble figuring out what to watch, and especially around Christmas time. If you have your family over and everyone wants to watch different movies, why not go to the list and go, let's start at number one, let's watch the best, and let's work our way down the list until everyone is satisfied.
He's saying this to purposely antagonize one of our co-hosts, but we're going to get there. Sure. All right, so Brett, the 2020 list, this is, again, you're the expert on this. This is your informed opinion. Start with number 10. What did we come in with this year?
Yeah, so number 10, A Muppet Christmas Carol, actually moved into the top 10 for the first time. It was actually in the top 10, I believe, in 2013, and then it moved out, and it has since regained its spot at the back of the list. Number 9 is Home Alone, okay, a classic. Number 8 is The Santa Claus. It teaches both the holiday spirit and that children should always read the fine print, which is a very important lesson that they need to learn. Number 7 is a little bit of a wild card for people, but Die Hard 2.
All right. Dan is shaking his head.
I assume he's going to take issue with that one, but Die Hard 2 is literally on Christmas. I mean, it is 1 year removed from Nakatomi Plaza, and it's in D.C. Number 6 is Rocky 4. It holds that position because it is both a Christmas movie. It occurs on Christmas Eve and in Moscow. So it is both a lesson in the Christmas spirit. Rocky gives out a lot. And it's an exercise in American exceptionalism. Number 5 is a movie most haven't seen, and you need to. It is Santa Buddies, The Search for Santa Paws. I believe it's number 3 in the Santa Buddies trilogy. It could be number 2.
Moves your soul.
But it involves a pack of dogs that all talk to each other, mm-hmm, and they're searching for Santa Paws, who got lost.
Search for Santa Paws. Gotcha.
I hope your boss isn't listening.
The title is quite literal. Right. But in the movie, there is a tiny dog named Tiny. They didn't get creative with the name, who sings Christmas Miracle. It is on YouTube. Highly recommend.
And he's homeless. Tiny.
He is homeless in the pet shelter. But he gets adopted at the end.
Like Tiny.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, come on.
Christmas Vacation is number 4. I think that's self-explanatory. Jingle All the Way is number 3.
Also, we're going to talk about that one.
It's turbo time. And then 1 and 2 is where the drama comes in. Last year, Elf was number 1, and then coronavirus happened. and I don't think there's a coincidence between the committee moving Elf to number 1 and coronavirus. So this year, the committee righted that ship. Elf is number 2.
Thank God.
And the number 1 Christmas movie of all time is Die Hard. It is back. It has reclaimed its throne. Christmas at Nakatomi Plaza. And I'd like to point out, most of the people have very, you know, specific for and against reasons why. But one that's never mentioned is that John's wife is named Holly.
Ooh.
Holly is the most Christmas name you can come up with other than Santa.
There's no disputing that part.
And so it's the context clues for me that give it away.
Okay. Dane, let's start with you. You were shaking your head. The issue that you have with this list, again, it's been poured over by the committee.
Okay.
For years.
So, look, I love Die Hard, right? I'm a red-blooded American, and so I love Die Hard. It would not be number 1. For me, it's Christmas Vacation, all right, okay, for me. Now, that a lot of people might not agree, but I wanted to get the expert's take while we got in here. Where do you see Batman Returns, Gremlins, ooh, Trading Places? There's a lot of other Christmas-related movies that didn't make this, and to have two diehards, for Die Hard 2 to make it in a top 10, I got to question your expertise here. Got to kind of throw that out there.
Did you say Batman Returns?
Batman
Look,
Returns.
I Googled controversial Christmas movies, and this was there's websites devoted to your lists. And so Batman Returns, Gremlins, Trading Places, these are part of the ones that people
What about Ernest Christmas Vacation?
Guys, before we get off the rails, this is obviously a very serious conversation. Brett, before we get to your explanation, and frankly, I think the world's waiting for an answer regarding those movies, I do want to acknowledge the others receiving votes category. So correct. The others receiving votes that did not make the top 10 very quickly, It's a Wonderful Life, Fat Man, which we'll get to, Bad Santa, Scrooged, A Christmas Story, controversial that Christmas Story's other receiving
duh.
Votes.
I have four a good reason.
Four Christmas, we'll get there. Four Christmases, A Christmas Chronicle 1 and 2, I have no idea what those are, A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas, I do know what that is, Home Alone 2, starring our or co-starring our current president, Friday After Next, Charlie Brown Christmas, Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, A Golden Christmas, A Very Merry Christmas, Love Actually, and then Trading Places. So we'll get to the never receiving votes in the category, but those were the ones that received votes. Dane asked about Batman Returns, Gremlins, and Trading Places. Why are they not in? Some of them not even receive votes.
I have a few of those too.
Well, Trading Places does receive votes. It's just in that back end, you know, it had a tough schedule overall, but ultimately just couldn't close it out. You know, Batman Returns, it's a good question. I need to maybe reevaluate that, but honestly, I would look at it and I would say, you know, it's involving a superhero and we're concerned about realism and we're concerned about,
Elf?
Is Elf a superhero? Elf's not a superhero.
The Santa Claus.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? Yeah. And so I think that's a concern we have for Batman. Gremlins, you know, we already have one non-human movie on the list in Santa Buddies.
This is not an inclusive list,
Brian. And you know, there's only so many spots that we can give. Christmas Chronicle, you mentioned, Joseph, that is a Netflix movie, and Christmas Chronicle 1 and 2, it came out last year, and it was very controversial making the list because of the Netflix-only release, and, you know, usually for years, we were requiring theatrical releases to be considered on this, and then we put Santa Buddies on the list, which didn't make the theaters.
The thing is still,
you know, and the Christmas more. Chronicle 1 and 2 on Netflix, very good, highly recommend. You should check them out. They're entertaining films.
Okay.
Now,
Amber.
And let me hold on. And how does Scrooge not make the top 10? I want him to explain that.
Ooh.
And how does Scrooge not make the top 10? Yeah, Scrooge has been moving up. So Scrooge has been working its way up closer. And it's one that I think, you know, maybe by 2024, 2025 can challenge for a top 10. It has good bones to it. So I wouldn't count Scrooged out. You know, Bad Santa used to be up there and it's dropped out a little bit. So
Amber, you have major issues with this list.
Well, for right now, since we haven't gotten to the meat of numbers 1 through 10, we're just talking about receiving votes and never receiving votes. I'm shocked, and not that I'm advocating for either of these particular films other than The Holiday, that some of these have not received votes. And one of those is The Holiday. The other is Ernest Christmas. Remember that old school movie? And Brett, again, I'm worried about how inclusive this podcast is. This podcast episode list that you made us, because where is 12 Crazy Nights?
Ooh,
where is 12 Crazy Nights? That's a good question.
You.
Thank you. You know, I'll address the Ernest one, and frankly, you know, Ernest Goes to Camp is an all-time classic, but obviously it's about Christmas. And one of the concerns that we had when making this was, you know, what is the historical reference point for the films, you know? And so Ernest Christmas is sort of just a throwaway they made off of the popularity of the Ernest Goes to Camp and various Ernest franchises.
I like the Halloween one.
And you see, like,
tell us more about Santa Buddies.
Sure. So very well, but Santa Buddies is its own thing.
Okay.
Harold and Kumar Christmas is another example of this because it comes off of the heels of Harold and Kumar,
which are
two quality films. But it, you know, it was sort of a cash grab there. And so that's why it hasn't been able to rise higher in the eyes of the committee.
I like how you just sidestepped my question.
12 Crazy Nights.
Which is 12 Crazy Nights. I can get The Holiday. I've never brought that to your attention before. Look into it for next
year. Also, The Holiday is a horrible movie.
It's a good
That's also
movie.
Objectively true. Which
that is a good movie. Horrible movie. If you like The Holiday and you're listening to this podcast, you know, add us on Twitter. Nobody likes that movie. It's a horrible movie.
I don't know. I assume you're talking about it. You're talking about Eight Crazy Nights, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Wow.
And that's part of the problem is...
Oh, my Lord.
So, Amber...
We tried to add 50% to the film.
I've been biting my tongue. Yes. I've been biting my tongue not to call you out. But
dude, you should have. But isn't there 12 Crazy Nights?
No, because it would be so much funnier that you just go all out.
No, I'm Googling.
You wanted a movie on the list that doesn't exist.
Hold on.
Yeah, we can add Shazam, too, if you want.
Ha-ha.
You know, okay, so that
12 Crazy Nights, Adam Sandler.
What about Sinbad and Shazam? Let's put that on there while we're at it.
Well, that's a fake movie.
So is 12 Crazy Nights.
Okay, here's my question. So you mentioned Shazam, which was what's the was that the movie last year? The superhero movie. Yeah,
I think
right.
That was,
yeah.
Yeah, something Shazam. Like okay.
Yeah.
So, which, by the way, took place on Christmas.
Brilliant name for a movie because everyone's already searching for Shazam, so now they're going to actually find the movie. Thing. Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up. It's a whole thing about Sinbad being in this fake movie. Again, all right, we're diverting. Iron Man 3.
You know what's
Christmas
interesting?
Takes place during Christmas.
Sort of.
Incredibly popular and not even receiving votes. And then give us 30 seconds on Iron Man 3.
So Iron Man 3, interestingly, Marvel's trying to sell it as a Christmas movie. They released some articles about it, trying to push it over, mm-hmm. The Die Hard thing. The thing with Iron Man 3 is it's a date sequence. Like, it just happens that Christmas occurs during the film, but Christmas has nothing to do with the actual movie itself. And unlike Die Hard,
for example,
which right. would not have occurred but for Christmas, Iron Man 3 and Aldrich Killian and the people blowing up, by the way, I love the Mandarin, great character, wouldn't have occurred or would have occurred without Christmas,
What about Hook? Now, Hook has 100% approval rating among people of my generation.
So can I give you a hot take on Hook?
Go ahead.
I don't disagree with the Christmas movie theme behind Hook.
Right.
Hook is a modern day It's a Wonderful Life.
Wow. Wow. Mind blown. Can I be honest with you about something? Like, is this a safe space? I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
You never seen Hook or you never seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No, I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Watch It's a Wonderful Life and then watch Hook and tell me that it wasn't inspired by It's a Wonderful Life, that Hook wasn't. It's the same like arc and redemption and lost his spirit and gets it back. It's basically It's a Wonderful Life in Neverland.
Just out of curiosity, because I admit my flaws. I know my shortcomings. And I can tell you, I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life. I've never seen It's a Christmas Story.
I've never seen Miracle on 34th Street.
Wait,
here we go. Also not on
Christmas Story.
Yeah, because when they replay it for 24 hours on TBS,
Thanksgiving.
I just changed the channel. Yeah. I just changed channel. It's too easy.
You never get the start of it, so what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you always come in, and it's like, you see the lamp and stuff. It's like, no, I'll get to it later. And that was, 36 years ago.
You should see It's a Wonderful Life. It's a good one.
Dane, any of these movies on your pop culture blind spot where you just haven't seen them?
I mean, as far as, let me see here. I've never seen Love Actually as far as receiving votes. But if we're focusing on the top 10, I've never seen Santa Buddies. I know it exists.
Well, obviously.
You have daughters. You will now.
I know. I've seen it there. No, we went to watch it one time, but just never did. That's how I know it exists. But
We'll watch it once.
I mean, and apparently it's a top 10 movie and everyone should see it. Amber, what about you? Have you seen all of those top 10?
I have, and that's why I don't like
one of them. Okay, now we're getting to it. So here's...
Have you seen the Lego one? Because it's new.
No, I have not seen the Lego one.
You should.
And there's a Lego Frozen one, too, that I have not seen.
It's in the vein of all the Lego movies. It's hilarious. Go ahead, Jess.
We have danced around the issue for long enough. One of the main reasons we had to have this episode is because of the hottest take that our fiery redhead is going to bring right now.
I don't know that it's the hottest. I know
I'm
already on this. I hate the movie Elf.
No.
I hate it.
Explain yourself.
I'm sorry. I love Will Ferrell. I love Will Ferrell's movies. I can get on board with everything except that one, you know, minor league basketball one. That one was pretty
terrible.
Semi-pro. That one was pretty bad. You got to admit, Semi-pro was bad. But this one, I was just like, no. I can't. I know there's only like one other person that responded to the Facebook post. They agreed with me, but I hate it. I hate Elf. And I think it's offensive to our childhoods, Brett. We all grew up in the same childhood era that you would put A Muppet Christmas Carol last and for the first time on the list. That is offensive.
Well, it's not the first time. It was on the list. It fell off the list.
Pardon.
And now it's back on. Yes.
Consistently.
If anything, you should be happy about this, that it has elevated itself in the eyes of the committee back into the top 10. Tangent.
Gonzo is hysterical.
Blades of Glory, top five Will Ferrell movie.
I do like Blades of Glory. Talladega Nights, how can you? Oh, man. So
this is a whole separate podcast, but do you consider, like, I'm thinking of Zoolander and Wedding Crashers, are those considered Will Ferrell movies? Because I feel like that skews the numbers.
No, Zoolander, I don't consider those.
I think Zoolander would be not Wedding Crashers.
Okay. Because if you're talking about comedy per minute, Wedding Crashers, as far as Will Ferrell, like, it's 100%. he knocks it out 100%. All right, so Elf.
Old school, though. Oh, my God, so good.
So Elf, like, what is
I just don't like it.
What is the hate for Elf? You can't just say I don't like it.
Yeah.
No, what I don't like it. I cannot get into it when I watch it. Home Alone, I'm there. A Muppet Christmas Carol, I'm there.
Is there not
Santa
enough,
Claus, boom. Elf,
there not
I'm like,
an Elf for you?
You know?
Well, I'll jump in. I've seen parts of it, and just like Joseph with the Christmas Story, I just bounce right out of it.
Thank you. Like, it's not anything memorable.
So I don't really know much about the movie, to be honest with you. I've seen it, parts, but actually very little of it.
I will rewatch all of these, but when I saw that one, I was like, okay, I'm good. Like, I don't need 2 hours of my life back, but I certainly am not going to watch it again.
Go ahead, Brett.
I would say, is it the character that he plays, Buddy the Elf, or is it like what surrounds him?
Which is happiness and joy.
I don't know. I didn't like Zooey Deschanel in that either.
I can go with that, though.
The committee is personally offended.
See, Brett sat back in his chair. He's like looking at him in a different way.
So Zooey Deschanel, she came into her own in New Girl, but before that, it's kind of a rocky history. So I could see that.
I consider her a very forgettable actress, but I still thought Elf was pretty good. So
in spite of her,
but I mean,
she assisted
also
in bringing it down.
Well, there's some good, solid, like, you know, guest performances in that movie, too. I'm not saying that it's number two.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, he's great. James Caan is great. I mean, it's a good movie. I'm not saying it's number two, but it's up there.
It's not number two.
Okay, so let's go around the room real quick. Dane, if you're doing your list, what's the number one Christmas movie?
As much as I love Die Hard, and it's a close second, The Christmas Vacation, to me, is the quintessential. It's all Christmas related. It's about family, them just hating each other. You know, I laugh the whole time. I'll watch it every year when it comes on. So Christmas Vacation, you know, is just a classic to me.
All right, Amber, what about you?
Is it the best of the vacations?
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Now you hit me in a way. I don't. That's a tougher question.
I think it is, but I want to hear your take on this.
Now we're getting to serious.
Dave's speechless. He wasn't prepared for this one.
I'd have to go with Brett on that. I think it is.
Are you comparing it to the original Vacation or to Vegas Vacation in your mind right now?
So I actually think of the first one.
Okay.
You know, I don't go straight to Vegas.
I think I have the original at 3. I think it's Christmas Vegas original.
I think you're right. I think Christmas is just it's just a solid movie.
And by the way, if you haven't seen the remake of Vacation, don't
do it.
Amber, your top Christmas movie.
I have a 3-way tie just because I watched.
Who are you, Dane?
Yeah. So I know I can't help it just because I grew up on these and I can't decide. I'm torn between Home Alone, Christmas Vacation, and Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay.
I mean, I think those are 3 really respectable ones to be tied.
It is the violence for her.
Okay, Margot.
And Amber, I'm going to agree with you. I can pick one because I'm not having a cop out. I think Home Alone. I think Home Alone is
I watched it last night.
Yeah, it's right when you hit that age where you're all rooting for Kevin, and it's a perfect age, and it has enough adult humor where you can come back to it, and it has the violence which we've talked about. Yeah.
Well, wait. So here's the real question.
You call it violence. I call it justice.
What did Kevin? What did Kevin's dad do for a living? The house, buying the plane tickets.
No, the plane tickets were bought by Kevin's dad's brother. Whoa. Because his kids, remember, 2 of his children were finishing school, so they were here in the U.S., so the dad bought plane tickets for Kevin's dad's whole family and his kids to fly over and spend the Christmas in Paris. Yes.
Wow.
Educate yourself.
I think he was a hedge fund guy.
Probably.
There was a Twitter thread the other day about remaking Home Alone with Kevin McAllister or with Macaulay Culkin and Dan Levy as they were partners now. Right. And it was like a whole thread and it ended pretty horribly. But in terms of the violence, highly recommend. I would pay to see that movie made.
Absolutely.
That Dan Levy, that would be funny.
Speaking of Fat Man, we got to cover Fat Man.
Yes, we're going to get to Fat Man. The last thing on this Christmas movie thing. So Fat Man, apparently this is it was high enough to be included on this list. All I know is that it's a Mel Gibson movie, so I refuse to see it. Tell me about it, Brett.
So yeah, it debuts at 12. Reviews are atrocious. The critics, movie critics, we all know that. So it's Mel
Gibson. They also like The English Patient, so
right.
You can trust them.
Mel Gibson plays Santa Claus, and he's a dark, grizzled Santa Claus, he's lost his Christmas spirit. And he is being hunted by Walton Goggins, who is an assassin, who has been hired.
As you do.
Been hired by a child who vaguely resembles Ben Shapiro, who got a lump of coal in his stocking, and hired Walton Goggins, who also got coal as a child and now lives to hunt Santa Claus.
Well, don't spoil it in case somebody
wants to see. Yeah, and that's really it. And it's sort of, I would say, like people that don't believe Die Hard is a Christmas movie, it's Die Hard meets Christmas, except Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially a very dark, it's sort of like Bad Santa without the comedy. like Die Hard and Bad Santa together is kind of what it is. And it's not great in terms of the script, but it's just good, wholesome family fun for watching. And I recommend everyone watch it once. Wait maybe till it goes to Amazon Prime for free. Don't pay to rent it.
Don't pay for this movie.
Watch it. It's going to get you in the Christmas spirit.
Okay. Brett, we really appreciate. And by the way, the last part of your list, the never receiving votes category, that was Fred Claus, Lethal Weapon, and Santa Claus 2.
Yes.
Maybe we'll cover that on a future episode or never talk about it again. Brett, is there any thought to adding people to the committee?
Yeah, let me get to that. And Santa Claus 3. I forgot that. The committee left that off this year. Santa Claus 3 is also never going to get votes, for what it's worth. You know, we have...
Is that the one with Martin Short and Jack Frost?
Where he plays Jack Frost, and it's atrocious. It's so bad that it almost pulls the Santa Claus out of the top 10. But if the Santa Claus on its own merits remains.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
You know, the committee is open to adding new members to the board of directors. We have plenty of availability and openings for people that would like to join. There's an application process that involves sending a text message. We're always looking for new people that are ardent Christmas movie fans that would like to weigh in on this.
Would you let Stephanie Fajardo join, since I know she has an active role against your number one spot?
So the problem that Stephanie Fajardo has, is she's just already biased against the list. But I'll say this about Stephanie, having that voice in the room, that's the counter to everything, might be a good thing. I think if she
is
comes,
she the Ginsburg Andy, to your Scalia,
Andy has to come as a package deal, but yes, she would be. I need Andy Fajardo to join as well. If that's going to happen.
Well,
it would help with the we part of the community.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no knowledge of that.
So again, if you're listening, if you follow Brett on Twitter, email him if you want to be on this committee, very prestigious, and then next year you can make some, affect real change in something that we absolutely need your attention to with all the things going on in the world. Brett, I would be remiss if I let you go before following up on a question that we asked you last time you were on. So last time you were on was in March of 2019. We were doing a bit where we asked you your final four favorite mock trial students. Now, what we have heard...
It wasn't favorite. It was best.
It was best.
Oh, well, then we need the favorite.
No, we don't.
Oh, Amber, please don't get ahead of me. We're getting there. So what I have heard is that this has become very controversial among the mock trial alumni, around the young lawyers, around current students. So at the time, I went back and listened. Your final four were Alexa, Leanna, Monica, and Creasy. Once you had those four young women, those were the team that you would present should you need to go to a competition. This was in March of 2019. So the follow-up question, one, has anybody cracked that list of those four women? That's the first question I have.
The best.
The best.
Yeah, because at the time it was limited to alumni. So I had, we've had two that have graduated since that probably would fight for a spot on that list between Miss Megan Rudd, who won everything there was to win, and went clerk for Judge Joseph Anderson in the federal court and is now doing insurance defense like every good lawyer should.
Lost another good one. I'll pull it.
And Miss Carson Sadro, and again, now, I mean, it's still all
women.
Female advocates we have are just absolutely phenomenal.
Sure.
Carson Sadro graduated in May, passed the bar, but she was sort of followed behind Megan and did the same thing. Won everything there was to win, went to Top Gun this last May virtually. It was the first virtual competition done anywhere. She essentially finished as a quarterfinalist. She lost out to the finalists in the final round that they had together on a split ballot, and basically winner went to the semis. She is now a prosecutor in Florida. So she's a state's attorney in Florida.
Excellent.
Just passed the bar. So those two, I don't want to say who I would take out.
Oh, no.
It's maybe not the back end of that list, but I don't know if, at some point the margin becomes so thin that it's hard to figure out, who's doing what. I've said before, we need an alumni tournament. Just bring everybody back and do something for charity.
I will say that would be amazing.
Brett, that leads me to the next question I have written down. there are three co-hosts on this podcast. If you were starting a mock trial team with one of the co-hosts on this podcast,
Joseph.
Who'd you pick? I know.
I pick Joseph, and here's why. Amber has a baby. Dane has a baby. There is
Joseph has a lot of free time.
That they have to commit to the babies. Mm-hmm. That I would take Joseph. Now, I've partnered with Amber. Amber was my partner in law school. So she had her chance.
Can I tell you honestly?
That's just because Joseph was the boss.
And Dane, I need to pair with Dane. I'll go try a criminal case with Dane.
Let's do it.
Put that on my resume.
I haven't heard a compliment yet, Mr. Bain. I kept us organized, and you weren't
Amber,
cute.
Yeah, without Amber, we would have gone off the rails that 3-0 year. Amber kept us in line and ready to go. Joseph, back here.
In all seriousness, I would have picked either Amber or Dane because they actually are real lawyers now or are in court. I'm just saying, of the three of us, it's Amber or Dane because y'all are real lawyers.
But time commitment's important, and you work like 10 to 3, 3 days a week. So
I will say, though, much of my family court stuff does settle. It's very rare now in family courts that you actually get to take a case fully to trial. And Brett, I mean, you see less of that in civil.
Well,
so
I would have
got to fight for those.
I would have been in trial this week.
The answer's Dane. I churn it out in hearings every week, but I've only had the luxury of a few contested trials. Right,
I tried one in Lexington at the end of October. That was, the first civil one that went, and it was a whole. COVID trials are. It's a whole experience right now with the glass and everything going.
And that was recorded for the 403s for the bar, wasn't it?
I don't know if that's good or bad, but yes, it was.
All right. So my last little controversial question: you've named all women. Who's the best male alumni who has come through the program? And again, we're not counting.
It's alumni again, so I can avoid hurting current feelings.
I know who you pick.
Our best male. Can I do an Amber and give you a tie?
Do it.
Our best pure advocate that ever came through is probably Colin Spangler.
I just said Colin. I was mouthing.
And Colin was unbelievably good. And he's now, Dane, I think you may have had some stuff with him. He's doing some criminal defense and some civil plaintiffs work over in Lexington.
I see Colin in the streets. Yeah.
At the Floyd Spangler Law Firm. So there's Colin, Chris Pascal, who just graduated and is with Robert Cohen now, with Bobby Gogo. Phenomenal advocate. Mm-hmm. And he's actually already tried a case. He tried a 2-day civil case, like a week after he got his bar results. He is going to be very, very, very good in the courtroom. I think it's probably those two. There are others. Jacob Godwin.
Stop.
Jan Stirrup's going to be really good, too. He's a 3-0 now, though.
Okay, so for Jacob, Amanda Stearns, Dakota, Chance, Ariana, Destiny, Austin, Perry, Jake, Jamie, Claire, Fiona, Will, Hamad, Madison, Brett didn't mention you, contact me personally.
What is that?
I just wrote down some people who you were in
pictures. Just wrote down a whole list?
Yeah.
It's like a reverse hit list. It's all the people exactly. that come kill you.
Anyone you could think of, you put it on the list. That's fine.
Basically. Brett, thank you so much for joining us and for discussing the important issues. If anybody wants to get on the committee, they can follow you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
At Brett H. Bain.
At Brett H. Bain. Complain about his Christmas takes because they are trash. And but thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. And I'll tell you the most important thing with our mock trial, I'll vouch for all of them. If you need to hire someone, go pull one of them. They'll know what they're doing.
And I do want to say that, you know, we do need to – obviously Joseph gets the nod from me because he was there to bring that program back to life. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, you know, to see what y'all have done with it and to cultivate these outstanding advocates is is just really amazing. So as a member of the bar, big thank you to both.
Joseph made the very poor decision of letting me on the bar as a 2L, and the rest is history from there.
Well, and pairing you with me, the best pair ever.
I will say, in all seriousness, as we kind of wrap up, you know, one of the things, and we talked about this with Dean Hubbard, one of the things that wasn't present at the law school was this commitment to trial advocacy. And having Brett in this role, preparing young lawyers to do what most young lawyers do, which is litigation, being in court. How do you try?
It's been invaluable. Multiple days a week.
Exactly. It's been a real boon for the state in general and the law school specifically. So, Brett, you're doing great work with the students there. Congratulations on all the recognition that they've garnered for the university. But, you know, work on your Christmas movies.
Yeah, I can't win them all.
That's right. So if you, of course, want to follow us, you can do so at SC Law Pod on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow me at Joseph P. Bios, follow Dane at SC Crim Lawyer, and follow Amber at Red Judicata. This is our last episode, our last bonus episode of the year. Please have a safe and healthy holiday season. Guys, did I miss anything?
No, I mean, you know, we just only focus on the most important things. You know, there's pandemic and new set of lawyers passing the bar, but right. This list, Brett's Christmas list is certainly the thing we needed to focus on before it's the end of the year.
Absolutely.
It contains a lawyer movie, so it's relevant.
On that note, Brett, thanks for joining us, and thanks you all for listening. And we will see you next year. Hopefully it's a lot better in 2021 on the Direct Examination Podcast.